Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah. Impromptu live. Yeah. Let's go for it.
We had some plans that fell through, so why not just jump on Facebook, have a chat, see what's going on.
Yeah. So how's it been going this week?
Not too bad. Been quite a bit of stuff going on this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was yesterday. Definitely. We had the Mars rover.
Yeah,
up and down.
Yeah, that that oh yeah, that's sorry about that. I had a slight echo come through my earpiece there. Yeah, so the Mars Perseverance rover landed down, touchdown on Mars. And already I've seen conspiracy theories about it. About the yeah.
Never takes long.
So the camera that they used as part of the landing, like as they landed, was just like a camera that was covered in dust and all sorts. And people were saying, well, why have you gone to Mars with all this technology? And you've got this like crappy little non-HD camera. it's all fake. So I've seen that already. It didn't take long, as you say. The thing had literally just touched down. I'm surprised they've even said it's there. But yeah, so I did see, though, from a technology point of view, it's gone from 12,000 miles an hour to 2 miles an hour before it landed. So it's quite...
That's
quite an impressive feat. Yeah, and the parachute, it's an English parachute that he used.
Oh, is it?
But one of the other conspiracies about it being rubbish is the fact that there's no atmosphere on Mars. So how did they use a parachute?
How's that even a conspiracy?
I don't know. It's people saying we didn't go because they couldn't use a parachute because there's no atmosphere. So there's no air for it to even open a parachute. Things traveling at 12,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, not aid of velocity.
Exactly. So, yeah, it doesn't take long for the... there we go. That was one of the first images. And people were saying this is awful. It was covered in dust, to be fair. So I don't know what people were talking about at that point.
And we get some good stuff coming as they set up the proper... equipment and the helicopter that they've got and all that stuff.
Yeah. But I don't know if they're saying why have you not got decent cameras? They've got 4K cameras in there anyway, so they've just got to unload them, I suppose, once they do all the testing. So we should get some decent photographs and footage soon.
But, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's it. There.
Big, isn't it? I don't realize it's so big.
But actually quite small as well. It is big, but for some reason in my head I was thinking it was going to be a lot bigger, but it's not.
I thought it'd be small. It was just really pitch like a ball. You think like a little remote control. Like, like how was he? This human sort
like one of those bomb disposal things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. They're going to take samples of the Mars surface and send it back, I think.
But, yeah, it's going to take about 10 years. I mean, before we actually get the Obviously, they can analyze because it's got a lab on board as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But the actual stuff they bring back in 2031, I think they said bye.
Yeah,
I can analyze it on the actual rover as well.
Hoping that they might spot some of these moon and Mars bases that we've been talking about on the recent podcast.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows indeed? It's will we be shown anything if they do spot anything? The camera feed will go and all that kind of stuff, won't it?
Yeah. Like it happens with the space station feed.
Oh yeah. That happens all the time.
It cuts off and then like something happens and the screen is like I'm having technical issues after there's been some weird light or something seen on the ISS feed.
Yeah, so who knows?
Good evening, Simon.
Hello, Simon.
Can't wait for the drones to fly, definitely. It flows like a minute at a time or something, doesn't it? It flies for like a minute at a time, like position to position.
Okay.
I mean, you can travel, I think it's 95 meters or something at a time.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
the little helicopter thingy with Bobby.
Yeah. That's with him. So they just like proper little quadcopter things, or
I think so. I saw a video sort of demonstrating it. I saw it, but yeah, it does. I think it's about 90 seconds. I think it might be this little drone can fly from position to position. Mm. So it's the first time we've had an aircraft on Mars.
Well, allegedly that we know about.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, seeing the drone for how they can use the drone from Earth as well. What a feat of technology, regardless of what everybody thinks about the fact that should we be spending all this money studying another planet when we've got issues on this country, on this planet. The fact that they can control an aircraft on another planet, that says something about the technology.
Yeah, definitely. So like you say, people will deny.
Yeah,
so it's a desert in Arizona.
Yeah, they'll overlay the deserts pictures and all the dunes. I've seen them do that for the ones on Mars. On Moon as well. They superimpose stuff from some of the Nevada desert over the Moon pictures. It's absolutely bonkers. 14 minutes for the information to get there. That's mad. It's really mad. So it's probably about as good as my drone that I used to have. It used to take 14 minutes before I could get any kind of control over it.
Like I say, the technology is just incredible.
Yeah, it is. And I think because there are multiple countries over Mars at the moment, aren't they?
It's like a bit of like a rush at the minute. But the UAE, I think, the fourth or the eighth country to have something on Mars. And they got there last week. Like they're trying to find something before each other.
Yeah, so that's actually really good that there's some kind of competition, because for so long it's just been NASA going up there, controlling what we see, and now we've got all these different governments racing to get up there. It'll be interesting to see if development moves quicker now, because they're being forced to.
Yeah, like the original space race. It's like we're going to beat Russia, and they did. They just did all they could to get it there as fast as they could, and it worked. Some people don't believe it did, but we did go to the moon.
Did we?
We did.
Why haven't we gone back? Why have we not gone back then?
We don't need to go back. I don't think there's the money and the cost. I don't think there's anything we can find on there that. Whereas Mars is, there's still a lot to find out about Mars. Whereas the moon, unless we start setting up colonies or like an intermediary on the way to Mars, then.
Yeah, it could be sort of a first launch pad onto Mars from Earth, I suppose. But yeah, I don't think there's anything of use on the moon really.
and not for the rather spend the money going to Mars and trying to get us to Mars.
And they can do it quite quickly when it's in the right orbit of Earth, or when they're on both the same orbit. It was what, seven months? I want to say 7 months, or was it 5 months?
I thought it was nine. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Could be a bit less. I know when they do the they're doing the astronaut training for it, they had to go to my isolation pods. I'm sure that's for like 9 months to see how they sort of
cope with it all.
Cope with doing it for 9 months, obviously you can't come back, so
Well,
at the minute, we don't know how to get them back.
Yeah. So we need to have a base really on the moon. Yeah. I suppose it'd make life easier if there was a base on the moon, and that would be the shuttle to the point and go from there. But
yeah, definitely. I suppose what they're trying to find on Mars is evidence of ancient life and any microbial life that is possibly on there or used to be on there.
Yeah.
And that ties into the other news that was this week, which was the weird life found in Antarctica that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. So this is a strange one as well. So it just shows that life does persevere, as it were.
It finds a way.
They find life at the vents and the volcanoes at the bottom of the ocean, and now this. Very strange. And I suppose this is more like the life that they'd find on some of the moons around our planets in this solar system.
Yeah, I think, is it Europa or Titan?
Europa.
There's another one that they think it could be this stuff.
Yeah, I think they were saying Europa, that's where they want to send probes to and sort of melt through the ice, because they believe that there's water under the ice. And if there is, this kind of find this week suggests that it's possible we would find life out there.
Have you seen that film? What's it called? It's about when they go to Europa. The Europa Project, I think it's called.
No, I've not seen that.
It's like a horror. I think it's supposed to be a horror. basically, they send a team out to Europa to find out what's on there. And there's like some big scary creatures under the ice.
Okay.
Killing half the... Or most, or might kill all the crew. I can't remember now, but it kills most, or if not all, the crew. Because when you open, you think like there's no one there.
Yeah.
So they go out for like the wreckies or whatever, out the little spaceship.
Yeah.
And like you go missing, or then try and find the missing crew and hear noises and see this creature and find stuff. It's not a good film. It's a fun little film.
Okay. No, I'll have to have a check on that, because I not heard of that at all.
I think you seen that one that's on Netflix with George Clooney that's quite recent.
No,
I think that's rubbish. From Europa. It's either Europa or another.
Okay.
One of Jupiter's moons. And they're coming back to Earth from like being out on the moon. But when they come back to Earth, basically Earth's been an apocalyptic event on Earth and they don't know about it.
Okay.
So George Clooney's on Earth trying to survive, because he's a scientist in one of the observatories.
Yeah.
And so half the film's George Clooney trying to survive on Pulse Point, but you don't know what's happened. They don't tell you what's actually happened to destroy the Earth. And then the other half of the film's the crew that are coming back from one of Jupiter's moons, and they don't know that the Earth's been destroyed.
Yeah.
Or the Earth's not destroyed, but the Earth's fucked, basically. And they don't realise. They're obviously trying to get back to Earth, and as they get closer, they can't communicate with Earth, and they don't know why. And George Clooney's trying to get a signal to tell him basically not to come, because there's nothing to come back to. That's like what he's trying to do. Because it's like all the other ships that have been out, like he hadn't got contact with, but this one ship was still like out there. He's trying to get in touch with him to say don't come back.
I'll have to.
I can't remember what it's called. It's on Netflix. It's quite recent anyway.
There's a few good ones. I say that and I can't even think of it. Event Horizon, very similar thing where they go up in space and pre-record a, or at least they see a soundbite of a hard drive of a voicemail or a voice clip, and they can't make it out as to what he's saying, and they end up sort of all this horror unleashes over the course of the film, and then they decrypt the message at the end, basically saying don't come and help us, and it's too late.
No, I'm not seeing that one.
That's quite good. It's quite an old one. I think Lawrence Fishburne's in it. It's good. It's good. It's one of those cool classic horror space ones. But
I think my favourite one is Contact. Is it Jodie Foster? No, it's not Jodie Foster.
No, it's
the other woman from...
Amy... Jamie, I'll tell you it's
yeah, that's
Amy Adams. I'm sure it's Amy Adams.
No, it's not Amy Adams.
No,
I can't remember.
Wait, I'll tell you. Let's go and have a look.
Laura.
Okay, Jodie Foster. Yeah,
is it Jodie Foster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Put me off without saying it.
Sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, Jodie Foster. And,
It's Arrival. Arrival is Amy Adams, isn't it? And that's about like a contact with extraterrestrials.
Yeah, I like Contact. It's quite old. And that's quite. I like the ending to that and about the future humanity and all that stuff. And it's quite a few plot holes in it, but it's... I can't even love this type of film. It's
Yeah, they all tend to have a few, don't they? Have you seen Interstellar?
Yes,
that's one of my favourite sort of space films, and The Martian.
The Martian.
Yeah, because I suppose The Martian is more like what might happen if SpaceX gets to Mars.
Yeah,
and then it all goes tits up. But no, it's good. So back to this life stuff, it does beg a question as to. Despite the fact that there's lots of harsh environments on all these different planets in the solar system and beyond, do we think that there'll be life found on those planets? Bearing in mind, we find it in weird places on the Earth.
Yeah, I think like you always go back to the, like where there's water, there's life. And for everything that we know as humans have ever discovered, that water is what every creatures ever like always needed.
Yeah,
and this obviously this is an old ancient lake where they've sent this Mars rover.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously there was water, possibly still ice at the polar caps.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's high chance of
definitely.
Like, even with like I think it has like 2% the atmosphere of Earth or something on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But like say things can survive anywhere like that tardigrade bug,
yeah,
can like pretty much survive anything,
and this that can survive for thousands of years and stuff like that. Some random like that.
I think there's definitely a good chance of. Obviously, we want to find some proper Martians.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll be shown those.
If we find some underground base, even if it's like long gone. To still find evidence that there was a civilization. I think, like I say, would there be no, like, not much atmosphere and out on the surface, if there was life, it could have developed underground rather than underground.
Okay, then. So based on the conversation we had on the podcast on Tuesday with Ben, do you think there are Mars bases already?
I think no. But it's like one of them, it's like it's fantastical, isn't it, to think about that. Or like say if they find like an old like base from thousands of years ago, but they've still got the ruins of it, I guess, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think for people like us that are into that and have a belief that there are things coming to this planet, in terms of UFOs and
yeah,
you know, that's extraterrestrial and that. I think it's the, I don't know, probably the Mecca, I think, if anything like that was found.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like, I don't think there will be anything, but there's always that little bit of glimmer of hope that there is something. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is something there.
But like you say, it's more likely, I suppose, that it was something that had happened and did happen a long time ago, so not actually current. So that begs the question then, that where are UFOs that we're seeing now, where are they coming from? Where do you think? You're the UFO man.
The more I've looked into it, and with other aspects of paranormal, and the more I spoke to people who've been like studying this for decades,
yeah,
I have been sort of going down the path of it's interdimensional.
Okay.
I think that's the, because the with anything coming from outer space or from a different planet, the distances, it's either obviously technology that they can just appear and reappear, possibly mm-hmm. through wormholes or bending time space.
Yeah.
But in terms of, I think of, I've been going down the route of it being more interdimensional is for me the most likely explanation. And that explains a lot of other paranormal
mm-hmm.
stuff that happens, like in terms of yeah. Bigfoot, all sorts of big paranormal stuff. And also the, like when you look at the TikTok videos and stuff like this.
Yeah.
I've been looking a lot more into that, the actual, like, it's not a craft, it's an actual living thing.
Okay.
So the actual thing they're seeing, the actual objects, are conscious life.
Okay.
So we're seeing that is the actual alien, is what's being seen.
So are we
conscious?
Are we being, seeing what they want us to see? So is that actually what it looks like?
Or I think, that,
yeah.
I think with the human brain, what the human brain does is, if it doesn't understand something, it fills in the gaps.
Yeah.
So that's probably like the most logical thing that the brain tries to obviously try and process it and then
mm-hmm.
show us that something, I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It almost goes to something it thinks it's seen before, I suppose. If it,
yeah, it tries to make sense of it. And then,
yeah.
The brain processes what it is and then shows us what it is. But if the brain can't analyze or comprehend what it's seeing,
yeah,
then it will show us what it thinks it is or what we fills in the gaps.
Yeah.
You know, that explains quite a lot of paranormal things where people see weird things. It's because the brain hasn't got a function to show what it's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's showing us either the closest possible thing to it or filling it up with something that it thinks we want to see.
Yeah. Good point.
Simon says there has to be life on other planets. We are living proof. Well, definitely. If it can happen once.
So what would be more scary, the fact that there is life on other planets, or that there isn't? Because if there isn't, that poses an even bigger question, I think, as to how the hell did we get to be this unique if there is literally nobody else out there. But I completely agree. I think there has to be life out there. And I agree with you, Simon, and you, Ash, that just the phenomenal number of planets, stars, all that kind of thing, I can't see how there couldn't be. And it's the Drake equation, I think, as well, isn't it? That's what it's called. That pinpoints that there has to be life out there.
Yeah, but then the other side is the Fermi paradox, where the fact that we haven't got the proof, like it sort of proves that there is and there isn't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like where the paradox comes in, is if there is, it should be teeming with life.
Yep.
But we've not found it, so it isn't, but it should be.
Go ahead.
It's where it gets what's the word? Philosophical. With what you believe, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see how there can't be life out there. And if people are seeing all these other things in the sky, see it on the live streams for NASA and from the space station where they cut the feeds, that kind of stuff. I don't know. And there was a recent video clip I think it was like a 5 second time lapse over the curvature of the Earth from space station that the Russian cosmonauts had shown. There was like five lights had gone over there. They were asking the question, what does everybody think this is? So I don't know. I really do believe. So question from Trudy. So there is an astronaut that believes in aliens and thinks that humans are aliens from millennia ago that came here, got stranded and helped populate the Earth. What are our views on this? So from what I've looked into, I think life didn't originate on Earth. That's just my thought. We get hit by asteroids all the time. Whether or not we were seeded here by aliens as a project, that would suggest that obviously we've come from somewhere else, and the fact that we're seeing these UFOs, but they're not interacting with us. Could it be that we're an experiment where they don't want to interfere with us? Because if they interfere with us, then they're ruining an experiment. Like, we wouldn't interact with experiments that we're doing on animals and such like and life forms, because you contaminate your experiments and your specimens. And these people are being taken up and abducted. Are they being abducted? Sorry, or are they just being taken back up to have tests run on them to see how their project's going? Just a thought. And they just pick randoms. That's why they do pick people from cities, as we found out on podcasts that we've done. But they sort of pick randoms in the middle of nowhere, so there's less likelihood that they'll be seen, I suppose.
Yeah, Shomei says we don't want humans to find them, which again sort of ties in with it's the zoo theory, isn't it? That the they're observing us, and like we did to animals in the zoo, and and the whole of human history, that could be a week to them, that equivalent their time, where they have ways to think of that, because obviously time is a human construct anyway,
and it's all relevant, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's another thing that I know we haven't spoken about on podcasts, but it's something that, again, that I've thought about over the years, is that it might take hundreds of thousands of years for these craft to get to us, but if you think our lifespan compared to, say, a butterfly on Earth, their lives are very short. A matter of days. A dragonfly is like days.
Lifespan.
So we live for, say, 100 years now, a lot of people are, and one day out of 100 years, why is it inconceivable that an alien might live for 100,000 years, 200,000 years of our time?
Yeah.
And it's only time that we've made up. It's a day is just the fact that we've gone around the sun once. It's not around the sun, but we've done a complete
rotation.
A complete rotation, yeah.
Although that's changed as well, hasn't it? That was they found we're going faster.
Okay.
So they've cut off a couple of seconds out of a day or something, because it's got to spin slightly, very slightly faster.
Leonard's, but no, they interact with us. If they choose you, they will. Yeah. There's some people, you're quite right, Leonard, there's some people that have multiple interactions with
it's like a life creatures. Mm. So that starts in childhood and keep coming back to... And again, that ties in with the experiment, seeing how we're developing, how the body develops and all that stuff.
And you think we're doing a lot of that. There's TV programs on some doctor, I can't think of his name, but they see these kids from like birth, then they revisit them 3 years later, then they're 7 years, 15 years or whatever.
It's seven up, is it?
Yeah. How's that any different to what these aliens are doing, or these entities are doing to us?
Yeah. Here's one from Andrea. What are your thoughts on the rhesus negative blood group theory? I think this is the very unique blood that only a few people. Or is this one that goes back and it's linked to something like thousands of years ago, but there hasn't been any lineage?
Yeah,
I'm not sure on this one.
Right. Definitely, it's to do with, it's a very rare blood type, for definite. I don't know a great deal about it, but I know some. I'll just call up some info on that as well. It's just negative blood type. Positive is the most common blood type. However, rhesus negative is extremely rare. Just having a look now.
I don't know, I have two different things. One's like where it's just very rare, mm-hmm. and then there's one where it's like someone thousands of years ago had it, then it's been like none, and then suddenly people have had this blood type, but there's been like no lineage linking them. So if anybody, where does this blood type come from?
Yeah, if anybody wants to jump on and explain it to us, Andrea, feel free. Andrea. Think of all the light spectrums we can't see. So it's funny you should say that, Simon. So me and Ash, and part of paranormal type investigations and equipment that people use are where the infrared filter has been removed off the camera. So it allows the camera to go to a full spectrum so it can see ultraviolet and infrared as well. And we can't normally see that at all. So there are things that appear on the infrared spectrum particularly that only seem to appear when filming in infrared. And it goes down to microwaves and as well. But yeah, there's quite possibly lots of stuff that we can't see.
The visible light spectrum is like 0.01% of the actual what is there that we can't see. And I was reading something where about its vibrations, it's on a vibration level.
Yep.
Whereas like different beings or different atoms on different vibrations, so we can't see them because they're on a different vibration level, but they can adjust their vibrations to make themselves visible. Mm-hmm. People on lower vibrations or whatever, like that's another theory with, again, we can't see it, but they can see us, and then they can then choose to make themselves visible to us. Ian, evening, Ian.
Civil alert.
We are barbaric as a species. There's always been war as long as there's been humans. Over whatever, it's just always been fighting and killing and destroying. So I can understand why. That's not helping. They're just gonna fuck themselves over.
Yeah, we tend to, as a species, tend to attack things that we don't understand. So you're quite right, Ian. They might well have tried to give us some kind of education to move us forward, but as a species, we're not fans of that. And you only have to go to some of these islands, these remote islands or remote forest civilizations that have never seen humans, and the first thing they do is try and attack. They don't tend to try and embrace the fact that there's somebody that looks fairly similar that might help them. We see everybody as enemies, I think. And I think religion hasn't helped with that. Religion's the biggest cause of war around. So if some of this stuff goes against the religious beliefs of people, then that tends to cause friction.
I think it's like literally on the internet is like just sort of sums up how the human species are. Like, we literally have all of information available to us. A click of a button, you can find anything out. I mean, 20 years ago, we had like Encarta on the PC to try and do some work on. Now you've got the whole of information that we've ever, everything we've ever known available. Mm-hmm. But people spend the time calling each other names on Facebook.
And looking at cat videos.
Making memes. It's like, can you imagine if everybody actually just used the information available and put all, like, billions of people to put all the brains together and actually use the information that's available. Like, could do so much, but no, like I say, we spend time looking at pictures. Looking at pictures of cats is cruel. But fighting on Facebook and just, it's just crazy how it just, that's what people use it for when there's so much out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Charmaine, similar. Contact, I think they'd have contact thousands of years ago, but humans come too hostile.
Yeah. And they do say that a lot of UFOs and unidentified craft are actually seen sort of over military bases, over places where there are nuclear weapons. So, yeah, they probably know that we're getting to a point where we're going to start doing ourselves too much harm. And they're trying to intervene at that point. But it's interesting because UFOs have been seen for thousands of years. The Egyptians have seen them. There's people who think that the pyramids have got something to do with the ancient gods that come down in chariots of fire from the skies, that kind of thing, in biblical pictures and lots of famous artwork from over the last centuries. There's always been depictions of things in the sky with like lights coming down and such like. So it definitely looks like there's been some kind of interaction of some kind.
Yeah.
But
and going back to the blood type,
got
some information here from Andrea and Trudy. So Trudy says she is rhesus negative.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she is. I remember that.
So two theories: alien implantation or fallen angels. Hold on. This one. They don't know where Ardeneg comes from. And from what Andrew's read, most of the abductions are featuring Ardeneg humans.
Okay.
Trudy says that it lacks the monkey factor. Therefore, saying that basically can't have come from apes because they haven't got this bit of, I guess, DNA in that blood type. Blood.
So where do you think it comes from, Trudy? Be interested to see. Interesting, though, that not having the rhesus monkey factor in the blood, which shows we couldn't have been descended from apes. I don't think we ever were, personally, and that's why I think this whole thing is where we've seeded as a species from an asteroid, or were planted, just like in a zoo, where there's multiple species in a zoo. Don't know. Will we ever know? I don't know.
What about the Matrix theory?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Or that we're living in some kind of simulation.
Yeah.
Or it's a lot of prominent scientists. Yeah, it could be. A lot of prominent scientists believe that we're potentially living in some kind of simulation. I know Elon Musk believes that as well.
I feel like when you look at the possibilities, like that's the most thing that they worked out that the most likely. Mm-hmm. It's not obviously we can do it now.
Yeah.
We could design these things to, and then obviously artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. to the level that they think they're alive or whatever. Yeah. And it would explain, obviously space is like, you can't even fathom how big the observable universe is, let alone, mm-hmm. if that's then the question of what's beyond that, how did it all start? And like I say, the fact that someone made it in terms of a Matrix computer system or whatever does make sense.
Yeah.
And that even then lends itself to religion, like there was a creator. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the exact belief, not exactly the same as what all the different religions have, but it was a creator, and that it's just not what how we think it is.
Yeah. So there's another question. I think we have covered it off before, that in the Bible, okay, Trudy says Ardeneg people tend to be more spiritually aware. I know you are, Trudy. Trudy, in a paranormal group with Trudy. And I know she's more spiritually aware than I certainly am. And I'm A positive blood, just to confirm that. But yeah, it would be interesting to look into that a bit more deeply, because I only know literally what we've talked about tonight, and I knew it was special blood. So could be interesting thing.
Ian says, do you think the use of hallucinogenic drugs free the mind's eye filter and allows you to see more of what entities share our world, like the shamans and medicine doctors?
I don't know much about it, I'll be completely honest. I know people who have experienced things like psilocybin and have used DMT experience a similar type of awareness, and they say it's very hard to describe what you see, except you see lots of shapes and all this kind of thing. But I think when you relax your mind, however you choose to do it, I think that allows you to be more open to what's out there. Meditation, we've discussed previously, meditation is done by a lot of people, and it allows them to sort of open up to the spirit world or open up to different planes of existence. So I think hallucinogenic drugs can allow people to get there faster and probably deeper than having to do it for that long. But I have heard that a lot of people say hallucinogenic drugs allow you to see more clearly. But that's all I really know about it, I'll be honest with you.
It's not a subject matter
I've really gone down, but I have heard about it.
So I've known people that have started it as a way of like relaxing, opening their minds up, and as a complement to meditation, and they've really spoke greatly of how it helps them open up and, like I say, see more clearly. But then the same person 2 years later, it's like, actually doesn't do it anymore because they now don't believe it works. And they did believe it was just messing with the brain, basically. So again, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think unless you have to experience it yourself. I know, like, we've talked about that they use experiments on soldiers to test the effects of like LSD and other mind-altering drugs to use them as a weapon in war. So yeah, I don't know. Trudy, the church closes your third eye when they christen you. They say the hallucinogenic drugs can reopen and activate the pineal gland.
Okay.
The pineal gland was something else completely.
Oh, Ash, we didn't need to go there on a Friday. But yeah, I've not heard about it closing your third eye when they christen you. It might explain the fact that I'm quite closed off. I was christened all those years ago. But yeah, no, I think it'd be something to look into a bit more, because it seems that people are interested in hallucinogenic drugs and the effect they can have on opening your mind.
Evening, Mike. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks.
Definitely. Okay. Simulation hypothesis. Definitely, because this is something that I think, like you say, it is worth looking into. Well, like I say, some scientists do believe it's the most likely explanation, and we probably never know what it is. Have you read Flatland? A book called Flatland. I read it years ago. My uncle gave me a copy when I was first getting into this, when I was like 12 or something. It's called Flatland, A Romance of Many Dimensions. And it's like, it is a fiction book. It's like, it's quite hard to explain. It's a book, but it tries to explain the different dimensions in like simple terms. So it starts off, it's the first dimension, and basically it's characters, but like when they're in the first dimension, they're just a dot. They can only see a dot. That's like what the characters are. It's like a love story type But then he progresses to the second dimension, and you can see like it's basically a line now, not a dot, but it's now two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, the person in the second dimension can see the person in the first dimension, but the person in the first dimension can't see the second dimension shapes. Okay. And like then the third dimension's the like shapes, triangles, squares, and they can see the first and second dimensions, but the first and second dimensions can't see the third dimension.
Okay,
so
yeah.
And obviously it goes up, so then like that we can only see what, three or four dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like theory that there's unlimited dimensions and they can see yours, but we can't see them.
Okay.
So that's what that book is. It's a really thin like book, but it's quite good. It's like explains simply like how dimensions work and how they can be obviously like everything around us, but we just can't see it because we can't see in that dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I always like going back to interdimensional, like alien UFOs, Bigfoot, interdimensional, and they can take advantage and move from dimensions to dimension, whereas we can't because we're not on that level or on that plane. Okay. Charmaine, what do you think about crop circles? You, I know you're a big fan of this one. Greg, I'll let you talk about this.
So crop circles, so I've been and found a few that have been put out by me. I live out in Oxfordshire, West Oxfordshire, and very close to the Wiltshire border. Wiltshire seems to be one of the main sort of counties that has this kind of phenomena. I'm renowned for it, whether that be human made or otherwise. But I've been to a couple whereby I cannot see how it's just bent crops. When a crop bends, it usually fractures and breaks. The one that I've seen, I've got some photos, I'll have to find those out, that the crop itself has actually bent over, not broken, but it's almost like it's been heated because there's like a nodule of, so it's round nodule at the point where the crop has bent over, as though it's actually been forced down and heated. Very strange. None of the crops were broken. It was in a perfect circular pattern, like a classic one. But then I've been in one that's the shape of a jellyfish. It's like 200 meter jellyfish. Amazing sort of structure. So my thoughts on crop circles are, some of them are definitely man-made. I think some of the designs are a bit too wacky to be anything other than humans, personally. But there are some, and I think the more basic ones are the ones that potentially are made by something. There we go, there's a jellyfish one. So this was some time ago. This was just out the back of White Horse Hill in Oxfordshire. So that big picture where it says bizarre revival of crop circles. So I've stood in the sort of top bit of the head of the jellyfish, and the thing was huge. You couldn't see it from the ground till you sort of walked into it. Again, some of it I think is probably man-made, but some of the simple ones, in my opinion, the way the crops have been sort of folded over, they don't appear to have been damaged. They're not snapped. And when I walked into that particular one, I'm not someone who normally picks up on sort of paranormal stuff, to be fair, but I definitely felt a sense of weirdness when I got into that crop circle. Jury's out for me. I know there's definitely a lot of fakers out there, and a lot of farmers do not like crop circles. Because it ruins everything for them. But
I'm jealous that you've been inside one. You don't get any up in the north. I need to come down during crop circle season. And
definitely. As I say, in Wiltshire, we're just on the border of Wiltshire. That's where they tend to be. I don't know if I've I'll have to try and find some photos and put them up on our page. But there we go. The nodes are microwaved. Yeah, that's the exact type of thing that if you look at, I don't know if you can search, Ash, for crops, sort of crop circle nodes, I think it'll be.
Oh, yeah, this might, hold on.
Yeah, so those nodes, yeah, so in the middle, sort of just towards that middle top one, just gone down the, if you go down a bit, so that right in the middle now, yeah, have a look at that. So that is what I've seen. But the actual angle was at a right angle. So the crop was, the bottom bit was the bottom of the crop. And the node was there, and then it was at a right angle across the floor. So it's only a short bit, and it was essentially folded over crop like that. But that node was there, and it suggested that it's high heat has done it, which yeah. suggests to me, someone who's not very technical or scientific, that it must have been heated somehow, and it wouldn't just be a piece of wooden board that somebody's just gone round overnight in a circle with a bit of string, which a lot of them are. But yeah, so I'm interested in other people's thoughts on what they think crop circles are. Charmaine, what do you think they might be?
Another book recommendation from Ian. The teachings of Don Juan. Again, using the powers of whatever PLT, don't know what that is. open new realms of the world and how to use astral projection is another one. Again, where it's about being able to control like the more spiritual side of life and the obviously with the everything's connected, everything's conscious. And we can connect with via meditation and things. And then, like with the what's it called? The Americans spent millions researching the what's it called? I can't remember what it's called, but the
remote viewing.
That's the one. That's the one to like into Russia or whatever. And they spent millions like researching for years and years. So they researched it for years, and so that says that there must be something in it. If they not like they did one trial and spent some money, they did it for years and years, spending millions of dollars carrying on this research. So they must know that there's something in it to keep spending that sort of money.
Because there's a film, The Men That Stare at Goats, with George Clooney, and that's based on some of the alternative sort of methods of remote viewing, mind control, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, decent film that.
Ian, crop circles. There is a famous video of someone who filmed a crop circle being formed by lights. It was, I've seen it. To be honest with you, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was released. It'd come out before, but it then was released again by the same guy, and I can't think of his name. He was the guy that released the alien autopsy video. I can't think of his name. And I'm pretty sure it came out that was a faked video. I don't know if I can find the video. It's a very famous clip, and it's two orbs of light spinning around like that, if I remember rightly. And then these series of crop circles appear. I think it was not proven to be fake, but I think it was... It looks a bit too good to be true.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it's too good to be true, it tends to be. But I have seen the video that you're on about, Ian, and I'm pretty sure it looks too good.
Talking of too good to be true, that's what we can say about the last week's news or the Pentagon claims it's got UFO crash wreckage and UFO debris and... It's literally all over mainstream media.
I've seen you've been quite active on social media replying to people about that.
It doesn't say anywhere that it's got UFO debris, not in one single bit.
It's the fact that they didn't say it that people have jumped on the fact that they have got it.
It's just like read. It's like literally the actual FOI response. It's like two pages, not the report, but the actual response. It says there what the report is and what it isn't. It doesn't say what it isn't because it doesn't mention anything. And then it's like I saw it like last Tuesday or Wednesday, and then by Saturday it was all over mainstream media that the Pentagon admits it's got UFO records and debris. Yeah. And then I even saw one. It's from I think it's a French site. It's in French, so we had to like translate the page. But it was like someone quoting the Pentagon saying they have alien evidence of alien. How's it jump? It's like Chinese whispers. Like it's like that's now alien confirmed alien craft. It's like how are you even getting to this from that few information response?
Yeah,
but that died down a bit now. I think people realised that they didn't say anything.
But as you know, Ash, it doesn't matter what you tell people.
People will believe, don't they?
Yeah,
and they believe headlines.
They do. They do. We put up a picture across both your page, the UFO unidentified UFO identified, and our paranormal podcast page of a picture of a plane that was taken with a 3-second exposure time on a camera over London. And the across both pages, the photograph has reached like 100,000 people, and there's been thousands of people commenting on it. And we've even said that we know what it is. We've all publicly said on the comments that it's a plane, and people believe that what they want to believe. I've had a lot of people accusing me of faking stuff. I've put up a picture that I took of a plane with a 15-second time lapse, and I was called a fake because I couldn't prove where I lived. So people believe what they want to believe. I think that's the thing, even with the evidence right in front of their face.
Yeah, it's like that FOIA. So I'd be like, no, they didn't admit anything. And the people in England, prove it. Prove it. Like, one, it's hard to prove negative. But two, read the response. Like, it's there. Read the actual response yourself. And you'll see I'm not a debunker.
Yeah.
It's just this guy, this Anthony Brogalia, who's, you know, in the past for doing, like, sort of exaggerating the truth a little bit with his research and stuff. We had some good stuff. But again, like with this, they've admitted they've got UFO crash debris. And they didn't mention anything of the sort, and then obviously the media's ran with it and it went viral. Glenn would like to know what your thoughts on deep sea alien life and the possibility thereof.
So my understanding is that we have only managed to explore 5% of the sea. The Ariana Trench, etc., is miles deep, and we know hardly anything about the bottom of the ocean. And like that earlier bit where they found this strange life form in Antarctica, I'm massively open to the possibility there's some weird stuff down there. The first people to see octopuses or octopi or whatever they call the multiples, that's some weird shit. Octopus are weird. So to think that's essentially a life form that we've seen, I dread to think what's that. That's why I hate going in the sea anyway. But yeah, I'm definitely open to the possibility of deep sea alien life. There, it's interesting you should say that as well, Glenn, because we've spoken to a few people and they've seen UFOs coming from the sea. USOs, I think they're called.
Yeah, it's become quite popular the last couple of years with lots of reports of either coming out of or going into water and not even like making a splash, not slowing down, just literally keeping the same trajectory and just into the water and gone. Out of the water just as fast without any like apparent slowdown from, as you would usually when jumping water, you get the slowdown.
Mm-hmm.
But these, like, what they call transmedium crafts or whatever they are, mm-hmm. you just come out and go into the water just at speed, which is obviously to public knowledge, there's nothing that can do that. But there's videos of this, and the I don't know how to pronounce the name. Is it Puerto Rico somewhere, or Argentina somewhere in South America? The Power Dahlia, UFO incident. That's stuck near one of the airports, and that shown a light or an object through. I think it's through flare, and traveling at mad speeds, making mad movements into the water, out of the water, splits in two. And there's been quite a lot written about that one. There's Metabunk did a big article on it, and they came to the conclusion that it was a balloons, like from like wedding balloons, and that's why it split in two, because it was like two different balloons, and it's through winds and stuff. And the when you're looking through things through infrared, it looks different to how it actually looks.
Yeah.
In real life. Well, then, like the coalition, UAP scientific coalition, whatever it's called, they got like a 100-page report on this sighting, and they say they don't know what it is. It does all this stuff. They say it's not a balloon. They've done all these studies into it. So that's an interesting one to look into.
Yeah, so going back to your question, I think deep sea alien life is an absolute possibility. We know more about the surface of the moon, I think, than the bottom of the ocean. So the fact that we can't get down there creates a massive problem for us, because atmospheric pressure is horrendous. You only get, I think you go down 10 meters and you double the atmospheric pressure. So you can imagine going down miles, and it's almost impossible to see. So anything that wants to hide is a good place to go. So I think, yes, definitely, there's more stuff to find down there. And I think we will find it as the years go on. But,
and a similar question from Charmaine. This is kind of on the same topic, but a different approach. Mm-hmm. Is it Antarctica being a UFO base? So not in terms of like alien creatures down there, but is there an actual base in Antarctica? Because I know there's been quite a lot of YouTube videos and pictures from Google Earth showing random things. They can't really say it's anything other than like pixels being pixelated.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think there could be? And there's some reports of things being seen coming out of, again, coming out of the water in Antarctica. So you think there could be a base?
Yeah, who knows? But then, so to throw this on a slight different tangent, if there is a flat Earth, there is no Antarctic, because it's just one long ice wall.
Do you believe in flat Earth, Greg?
No, no, I don't.
Just wanted to ask that one.
That's the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard in my life. Especially if you watch, I think it's called Over the Rim or Above the Rim or something. Oh, it's on Netflix. It's about flat Earth. This guy, by doing an experiment to prove flat Earth, he actually proves that the Earth is round, which is quite funny. But they also say that Antarctica is a no-fly zone as well, isn't it? Not allowed to fly over it. I'm pretty sure.
So what's your thoughts on Hollow Earth?
Wow.
Again, a similar
hiding
place, I guess, but possibly.
It is, because again, like going down in the water, I think the atmospheric pressure and heat as you go down, the further you go down, the hotter it gets. And I think the furthest we've ever been down is something like 6 kilometers into the Earth's crust. I was actually reading about that this morning, weirdly. And I don't know about Hollow Earth. It's entirely plausible, I suppose. I don't know. What do you think, Ash?
Well, it just reminds me of some couple of Doctor Who episodes where they're drilling a hole, and there's a Matt Smith episode, and they come across an underground base with the can't remember the name of the species in the show, but reptilian type. It was a reptilian type creatures that were living in this in this basically underground sea. Mm. And they were there originally. It was their planet. We sort of took it from them and they were hiding underground. And all the aliens were like basically in sleep, like asleep for that many thousands of years it had been. They've been underground. But yeah. But yeah, in terms of it, I don't know. It's very thick, the Earth. Like I say, there's like miles of layers of different types of rock. And obviously it's hard. You got all the molten lava that formed the volcanoes and the undersea, underground lava lakes and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I don't know, really.
Some of these things, like you said before about trying to prove a negative, or it's difficult because there's no proof of Hollow Earth, but there's no proof of no Hollow Earth, if that makes sense. So my mind, although I'm pretty skeptical about a lot of stuff, I like to think that I'm open-minded to discuss stuff. So if anybody's got viewpoints and they want to come on and have a chat,
yep,
we can line that up, and the next time we go live, happy to have people on to discuss it further. It's definitely some interesting topics. Mars. Another thing we were talking, you were talking about interdimensional beings. It's almost like an episode of InfoWars. I've thought about parallel universes. And again, the scientists are all on about parallel universes. And I, along with the paranormal stuff that I do, we use a spirit box, which allows us, or allows the white noise between the stations to act as like a conduit for spirits to talk. Now, I've been thinking about this, and I wonder if it's not actually spirits a lot of the time that are speaking and trying to communicate, that white noise actually shows some kind of connection to a parallel universe. So this is why it could also be some of the ghosts that people see. So we've interviewed somebody who saw some Roman soldiers walking through his living room, and not even seeing that he was there. Maybe there's some kind of shift, and yeah, this guy's had some weird shit happen on his place. But could it be that sometimes these portals open up and it's not actually an alien world we're seeing, it's actually Earth, but a different Earth? And that's why some people, I know on Skinwalker Ranch, a portal opened up and there was this hole opened and they saw what appeared to be like this Indian, like American Indian chief standing the other side, just sort of waving. No communication between the two, but he could obviously see through. And I just wonder if that's some kind of portal to another Earth. And maybe these aliens, UFOs, could have come interdimensional, but they could have actually come from into like a different universe, or like a different Earth as such. I don't know.
Could be. I think it's a lot of this is like, say, all comes down to belief, and you can't prove either way. This stuff just comes down to what you believe, what your experiences are, and like what we do with the UFOs, what you do with paranormal, what we do with Bigfoot. It's just investigate it, research it, have your own beliefs, and you'll find out. If we get there, we find out.
Yeah, and I think like when we're doing the podcasts, and we don't really make any kind of judgment, we just present the stuff that we're talking about, and it's up to whatever you believe. Yeah. And who am I to say that aliens don't exist? I don't know. They might well do, they might not do. It's just whatever you care and choose to believe. But I do feel that the internet is a bit of a wild west of places. So if you put a theory out there, you have to be prepared to, for people to come at you with their version of what they believe. And some people are absolute keyboard warriors, for want of a better phrase. But
yeah, definitely. I'll choose a different word, but yeah.
I've seen you put different words as well. Brilliant.
No filters.
But yeah, no. That's been a good chat tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks everyone for just hanging out with us, chatting, asking questions. First time we've done it, we just thought, because like I say, we had other plans and that fell through with another guest. So if we're here, let's just jump on, go live and just see if anyone just pops along. And so it's been fun.
Been some good questions for people. And like Ian's just put, agree with your parallel universe theory. Sometimes we can see them and hear them. No reason why other parallel universes sometimes see us and we're unaware of them. Absolutely. I definitely have a shift towards that. And some of the paranormal stuff, like I say, the paranormal stuff that I do, some aspects of that I do think could be linked that way. I don't. Again, I have no proof of that. It's just what I think.
I think it's all about the journey.
Yeah, it is. It is. Cool.
Don't forget to check out our website.
Yep.
Got to do the socials. Do that pursuit of the paranormal.co.uk. You can listen to all our episodes. Mm-hmm. The next episode out on Tuesday will be your stories. We've got a special episode where listeners to the show have sent us their UFO stories, their paranormal stories. I'm going to be playing them as part of next episode. So that's out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Available on our website and wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we've got a mailing list. You can go to the website, sign up to the mailing list, put your email in, and only be once a week maximum. You get an email with a bit of latest news, bit of topics, and a link to the latest episodes. So make sure you sign up and follow us on social media.
Yeah, exciting times. We, like Ash said, we're trying to engage with everybody as much as possible. So if people have questions, stories, fire them over to us. We might get you on a live stream, or if you're not that brave, we can talk to you via phone, Skype, Zoom, Teams. We've done them all. And yeah, we'd love to hear your stories. As I say, we don't make any kind of judgment on what you're saying. We just
tell
present
it. It.
Yeah. We present it. So yeah, come and join us.
Cheers, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.